through the buttons.
Welcome, Pod Trackers, to a King of the Buttons special, live from the Wood Festival. Escaping from the continual low buzz of modern life, I found myself in the field once more. New to the delights of festivaling and armed with the mobile Podatron, I set off to find folk of interest. In this very special recording, we meet some hippies on the cusp of the Slash Slash, we stray into the tent of Free Enterprise before the dawn of Beltane, we meet the real Bob Rowe, possibly, we come close to our green friends of the Earth Piece, we interview a very familiar barman, and seek out and locate the Welsh Bob Dylan. It's a King of the Buttons special.
One gets wood.
For those of you listening at home on an iBob, I warn you that the strong winds and strong emotions conveyed in this podcast may damage your eardrums. Best listen to on a wax cylinder. So, I'm somewhere in a field in Oxfordshire, Braziers Park to be exact, and I'm at the Wood Festival, which is a very small-scale festival and a very wonderful collection of strange and weird things. We've got two music tents. We've got the wood tent and the tree tent. I think that's possibly what they're called. And we've also got a collection of strange workshop tents and some various vendors all about the land and about the park. So what I'm going to be doing today is walking around, talking to various people and trying to get a flavour of the festival. And I've never been to a festival before, so it's a brand new thing for me, and it's a bit of an experience really. I think that's the idea, so let's go and see who I can find.
I think it's a bit weird when you sit poking. You should do it secretly.
I should do it secretly, but it's a bit covert then.
Well, that's alright. But anyway,
so, is this the first time you've been to the Wood Festival? It's only second festival.
It's my second time of year.
How does it compare to last year's?
It's the same kind of thing. What's so nice about it is like you make friends on the first night, and then because it's so small, they're your friends forever. The whole festival, and literally like you they're your friends. So like you walk into a field to go and see a band. Uh-huh. And people kind of go, do you want to come and sit with us? Because like they know
so everyone's
you.
Your neighbour.
Yeah.
And how was camping last night?
I didn't go to bed last night.
Oh really? Oh really? So what were you doing in the small hours? Am I allowed to ask that, or is it personal?
We were doing this.
Singing.
It's the small hours. Okay. And then we went for a sauna.
Yeah. I'm going to go and investigate that later.
Good.
Is nudity involved in that?
There's some
really?
Nudity. I didn't go nude.
Right.
Which is why I've been walking around looking like I've wet myself because I had
nice.
Because I had wet underwear on.
Nice.
But there was definitely nudity there.
There was a
man next to me who you know he had everything.
He had everything
out.
Showing.
And the funny thing is that these two were sitting opposite and they were both trying to be really normal.
Just trying to ignore it. Completely.
Trying to ignore the fact that he was there.
What was best about those? Shivled cock.
Nice. Very nice.
They played like fast.
Very nice. Okay.
I can't believe you recorded that. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Right, John. Tell me about the Wood Festival.
Well,
how special is it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say.
Yeah. Or in a chord of G, maybe.
In a chord of G.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a kind of it's. I'd say it's a C sharp chord.
That's quite
distinctively flavoursome. Kind of like different.
It's a very intriguing answer, I think, but
slightly takes me away.
Have you been to a lot of festivals? Have you been to a lot of festivals in your time?
Been to a fair few, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd say this ranks like in terms of like meeting people, like
it's up there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's small enough, isn't it?
Like the composting.
Perfectly formed.
And, very friendly.
This yeah. Believe it or not, this is the first festival I've ever been to. First proper one. But I'm not doing it properly because I'm not camping here, you see.
Mm.
So that's cheating, isn't it?
Yeah. Where are you staying in? Are you offside then?
So a friend of mine lives somewhere in a field close by. Well, not actually in a field. There's a house in it, but you know. There is actually a building there. So what should I... Well, I'm going roaming around the site. What should I see? What have you seen so far you would recommend?
Definitely the sauna.
The sauna, definitely.
There's a nice van selling ales.
Is that Butts Ales?
Strong ales.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I have strong connections to Butts, if you'll pardon the expression. So it's going well actually. And there was yesterday the mulled cider was mentioned in the tree tent.
Yes.
It was good. Yeah, I remember you coming in and having some actually. I remember you coming along.
Are you?
I was hiding behind the barrels. It's good stuff. I think they're mulling something else today. I don't know whether it's ale or cider or whatever, but they're definitely doing something else. So
But they have a strict they've got a strict non-marketing policy where they don't like marketing things. They just bring people to it, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it works or not, I don't know. Probably does. No way.
Yeah, guess so. It's distinctly non-threatening, I suppose.
Everyone's
inviting.
A friend. Everyone's a
friend. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I didn't know half the people in this. Most of the people in this room are nowadays.
So where have you travelled from? How far have you travelled?
Just Oxford.
Just Oxford.
Area.
Okay. And how about you?
Same. Oxford as well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is anyone from further afield than Oxford?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, where are you from, young man? Tell me.
Well, I'm a Sussex man. But
a Sussex man.
But I live in Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
Ah, beautiful city.
It
which
visually?
Yeah.
No, I mean it's coming on. It's
which
really
coming
on. It's a beautiful place now. It's a very nice building. It's a Selfridges building. It was the flagship.
That's very nice. And the bull ring and all that kind of area.
The bull ring, the brass bull, bronze bull.
The brass monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in Birmingham do you live?
I live in Borstal Heath.
Ah, nice. Is that the posh end? Do they call that?
No, you call that. I think it's //, isn't it? Borstal Heath. There's two gangs of Birmingham, // and Bang Bang.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the cusp of the //.
Oh, right. Is that Des Res, would you say?
I'd say almost.
// Des Res?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Des Ray, the hit artist
yes.
in the mid-90s.
She was quite big at some stage, I think.
She was big.
Mm.
She was
Is she
big.
Here this weekend?
She's a big girl as well.
Really?
Which probably has a lot of power and weight to her.
Have you... what kind of music have you seen so far? Have you seen anything that you really liked? Or?
I've liked everything I've played.
Really? I did like your Proclaimers rendition earlier. I liked that a lot.
Because it's you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any music yet. To be honest, festivals for me are about coming and meeting people. I've got very short concentration spans, so I find it quite hard to stand and watch something.
Okay.
But I watched Bob Dylan for an hour and a half.
Really? Is he here?
He's not here.
Oh, shame.
He's just he might be.
He's got a job on radio now, hasn't he?
He does his own radio show.
He does his own radio show, yeah.
But yeah, so it's nice to meet people and play and jam. And jam sessions are really good. I think, and that will happen here a lot.
Bring it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
It's a nice crowd. Very Radio 4 crowd.
Really?
Which is nice, yeah. But it's also slightly unreal.
When you say Radio 4, would you say more Shipping Forecast or Women's Hour?
I'd say even yours.
You and yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Or not Talkback or anything like that?
No.
No. Okay, that's interesting. Because I like to try and get a scale of these things.
Yeah.
So that's given me something to go on.
No, I like it though. I'm running out of things to say.
That's okay,
sure.
That's allowed.
Very nice.
Okay, right, it's recording now. That's a good start.
That's good.
So, Jason, you're responsible for the artwork. You design the artwork.
Yeah.
What's the theme? What's the feel?
Well, so the logo come from the idea of when a tree's cut down and you've got the rings of the tree.
Uh-huh.
So we're 2 years old this year.
Uh-huh.
So obviously there's
two rings
on the logo. That worked quite well. So hoping that there's going to be enough space within the first circle to keep up with the amount of festivals there's going to be.
Uh-huh.
So we're hoping.
And did you do last year's as well?
Yeah.
And so was that one circle? Is that the idea?
That was one circle.
Ah, that's a bit of a theme.
I've tried to incorporate the truck logo in with that as well.
Oh yeah, because the trucks, is that a bigger festival? Is that?
It is bigger. It's also older. I think it's 12 years this year.
Uh-huh.
The truck festival, yeah.
And someone told me something interesting about the name, why it's called the truck. You could probably tell me a bit more about that.
Well, so most people think it's because of the truck as a stage.
Uh-huh.
But I believe it's because it was to do with an album which Robin, the founder of the festival, bought. I think it was Trucking Greats or something.
Okay.
American music. I'm not sure what it was. But so that's I think it's where the word where trucks come from. But obviously the stage is a truck, so it works on that level as well. Yeah. So
tell me a bit more about the artwork. So are you an artistic person by trade? Are you?
I am, yeah.
What do you do?
I went to Falmouth University, so I'm an illustrator. I've done the wood stuff this year, and I work on the truck stuff as well. So I do the truck festival stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is
where everyone's banned.
Yeah, so we've got the Monsters. The Monsters started to make an appearance. That appeared last year. I'm an artist. I'm
artist on residence, as they would say.
Yeah.
Across the channel.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Okay. And if you could give me a tip for the festival, because this is the first real sort of festival I've been to, which is quite exciting for me.
Wow.
What would you give me some advice for being at a festival?
I'd locate the beer tent, just so you know where it is.
Right. Okay.
Just in case.
I think I found that already, so that's good.
That's good. And try and see and do as much new stuff as you can possibly do within a weekend.
Okay. Yeah. That's sound advice.
Yeah. That's it.
Thanks very much.
Check out the music.
Thanks very much.
Ding of the buttons.
Well, so far I've met some fairly interesting folk, I think, and I'm just wandering across this field now, dangerously towards the magic sauna, which is private, apparently, and not a shower, which the sign states quite loudly. So I'm going to go and see if I can find someone who's in charge and can give me the general gist of this, so wish me luck. Tell me about the magic sauna, why it's magic and what you're trying to achieve with the sauna.
The way it's magic is that we're one of the few enterprises in this day and age that are free to use.
Uh-huh.
We have a sign outside that says, if we have a good enough time, we'll have enough donations in the hat, mm-hmm. we'll probably come again next year.
Okay.
But it actually says free to use above that. And we got a sign on the wall in there about the magic hat principle as we see it, is that we don't feel people should be charged a fixed fee for sort of food and warmth and cleanliness, because some people can't afford it. If there's some guy turned up in his little tent with one set of clothes and he's got cold and wet and he's got a price of a beer in his pocket, I'd rather he didn't have to choose between having a beer and having a sauna. I'd rather he went and had his beer and then came and had a sauna, and then next year perhaps he can give us something in the hat, or perhaps he'll wash the cups or something like that. And to me it changes the ambience of what I'm doing, in that we've got a whole circle of family around the festivals. And I say this one is a bit slow for festival for sauna users, so I say probably because it's youngsters here. But a lot of the festivals that we go to, people arrive on site with their tents and things, and the first thing they do is dump their tents outside, go in and have a sauna, sit down and have a cup of tea, and arrive before they start putting tents up.
So how long have you been doing the mobile sauna? How long has it been going?
Well, the first sauna I built was 20-some years ago for Rainbow Circle.
Right.
I'm the Tinkerman.
Uh-huh.
Do things. I get bored easily, so I gain skills, and then I don't want to do them anymore. I worked my ticket by improving their shower trailer, and when I finished, it was a sauna trailer as well as showers. And we sort of ran that one for them for a while, and then wandered off, and it burnt down after 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And so we built them another one, and we ran that again for them for a while, and then we wandered off and sort of fell out with them, actually.
Right.
And a couple of years later, we built ourselves a sauna, and then this is the fourth one we've built, and we're designing and looking for the truck to build the fifth one in.
Okay.
This one's evolved.
It's right.
It's nice, but it's from when we arrive on site, the two of us put in about 30 hours each of work.
Wow.
To set this lot up.
Wow.
Which means we can't do small gigs.
No,
it has
no.
to be big festivals. So we're building another one that's purpose-designed to arrive on site in a truck, working, so we can do parties and road protesting things. And
how big is that kind of truck? Is that a monster-sized truck, or is it
20 to 24-foot box on it?
Right,
but
right.
But it's going to have little sort of buttons that you press that makes the back extend out.
Oh, cool.
And things that fold down.
High tech.
Well, we've got a bit of money in the bank from the house we sold. The government keeps devaluing it.
Mm-hmm.
We've just lost about 20,000 as against the euro because of this recession thing that's supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
It just seems better to turn the money into a truck and a new relaxation area and a mobile recording studio. And
yeah.
They'll have difficulty devaluing that once we've got it.
Uh-huh. You know, so it's kind of, I suppose it's a bit nomadic. Would you say it's a nomadic sort of existence? Or?
Well, I was lucky enough to pitch down to Stonehenge in 1974 and then go on to Windsor Festival and back to Stonehenge, and I'm an emotional telepath. I pick up emotions from people telepathically. Mm-hmm. When I'm driving down and I go past London, sometimes as much as 30 miles out from London, my shoulders start going tight and they start getting aggressive. So if I want to be with people, festivals are the place to be.
Uh-huh.
Most people leave behind their stresses and alarm clocks and they come here and they project good vibes, so I feel good. And whereas when I go into cities, sometimes I feel bad.
Uh-huh. And there is a really nice feel about this festival. I mean, I was saying to a couple of people earlier that it's the first sort of proper festival I've been to. I've been to various sort of things in fields, but I've never actually been to a kind of 2 or 3 day thing. And there's a really nice kind of friendly atmosphere.
The energy here is very nice this year, and it seems to have gone more in the camp sort of direction with workshops and circle dance, and I'm really pleased to see that. I think if the generators could be disposed of altogether and get another solar-powered rig in so that people could actually hear the birds and the peace of the countryside, it would be absolutely fantastic.
And how long off do you think that is? Do you think that's a sort of... Do you think
it's
that will happen?
It's entirely
or?
Up to the organisers. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be needing the high-powered sounds this time. Mm. So perhaps next year they'll invite another solar-powered rig along to put on the other stage, and the lighting can certainly be done on solar and things like that.
So you must do a number of festivals in a year. How many would you say that you do?
Well, we tend to leave home about this time each year.
Uh-huh.
Maybe as early as the 1st of May for Beltane Camp sometimes. And we'll work through to about September. I'm quite likely not to go home, or if we do, it's just to pick up some part that's broken or something like that. Not every weekend. Some of the festivals are long ones, like Glastonbury, we're there for about 2.5-3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Green Gathering, we'll be there for about 2 weeks. And I'm perhaps a little bit... I don't know what the word is. I prefer the festivals before they happen.
Okay.
I arrive...
Before they explode into big kind
well,
of...
Well, we tend to travel on the Wednesday. I think it's a festival every weekend.
Yeah.
Then Wednesday's the driving day. We can have the sauna running about 2 hours after we arrive, but that is just the sauna empty, one tent up, plumbing done, fire lit, and then it's the 30 hours to
get
everything up. And it means Thursday evening we're normally running, sometimes Wednesday evening, and then it's crew, and they're the people who've used it the year before, and they know us, and it's just meeting family again.
Yeah, yeah.
And they know how to use the sauna, so I don't have to watch it, and I can sit down and chat and play guitar and... Then unfortunately Friday comes along and they start the generators up and
it starts getting bigger and noisier, yeah?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you, I mean, obviously you were here last night, and how was camping last night?
We arrived here Tuesday. We
parked so you've been here longer.
Down the road Monday night, came in early Tuesday morning to start the setup, went back down to the lay-by down the road for Tuesday night, because they charge camping here outside of the festival time.
Yeah.
So we left one of our people to look after the tap. Came back again Wednesday morning, carried on with setup. Sometime yesterday we finished the setup. It was beautiful, and you could hear birds across the other side of the field, and the squirrels were running around, and the chicken came wandering across the field. I think the thing that's missing or wrong at a lot of festivals is people are coming from the city. And by the time they arrive at the festival, the city has been recreated on the site.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the period when there aren't any generators going and there are birds and it's...
That's the more kind of precious time. Yeah.
It's beautiful, and there's acoustic music happening at quite a lot of the festivals. And
I've noticed you've got a couple of guitars hiding in the...
We've got 3 guitars, a mandolin, a flute, a clarinet, a didge, and some singing bowls with us.
And what's your preference? What do you play?
I'm not very musical. I can strum a guitar and I enjoy drumming, and I sort of bring these along for other people to play.
Yeah.
And also because I'm the Tinkerman, I collect instruments
of course,
from boot sales
of course.
And repair them. And at home we've probably got about 3 or 4 cubic metres of instruments, from cellos to Austrian lap harps and all sorts of strange things.
Wow. I saw someone playing a zither the other day. Have you seen aware of all those?
Rather nice instruments.
So, just to finish, what would you recommend to me? I mean, I'm fairly new to festivals. What would you say? What main piece of advice would you give to me as a new festival person?
What about festivals to go to, or what to?
Just generally, what to do when I'm here? What would you say? What advice would you give me? As someone with a great deal of experience in this area.
Bring your wellies.
Bring. Well, I'm halfway there. I think I've got those already. So.
I don't know. Turn up and enjoy them.
Just enjoy it.
If you can get a job for crew that gets you on before the actual noisy part starts, you'll experience the other side of it. Big Green Gathering is a fantastic festival to go to. There's just so much there, and it's wind and solar powered, and there's the politics area and green futures and housing, sustainable housing. And there's so much to see there. The next festival we're going to next weekend down in Kent, Small World Festival. Highly recommended. I'd say a quarter to a third of the people there are probably musicians, and there's jam sessions everywhere, and it's entirely wind and solar powered.
Cool.
I'm slightly biased, I think.
No, no.
Like generators.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, thanks very much for talking to me. What was your name, sorry?
Mark.
Mark. I'm James.
From Sam Sauna. Check out samsauna.com.
Samsauna.com.
King of the Buttons.
So, Stephen, tell me about wild food walks. What does that mean?
Well, it's basically looking at what we can find in our environment, to sum it up, for free. Mm-hmm. And it means wandering around. Oh, look, I found some berries, I found some leaves. Plant identification. But also, on top of the identification, the awareness of what you can do with it. And so really it's a walk where I'm just the facilitator and we share knowledge amongst us, because often people who come on the walks will have bits of information which I don't know. And, and so because I've been doing it for about 6 years or so, I've got a lot of information I can pass on. So it's really a way of passing on information through experiencing the plants.
So how would you describe yourself? Are you a botanist? Is that what you'd say you were?
I'm an organic food grower.
Okay.
Is one way I describe myself. I've also,
it's not an easy thing to describe, is it? I think we're...
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, basically, what I'm really interested in is learning how to get as much food as you need from your environment for as little effort as possible.
So what sort of things on site can you guide us to or point us towards? Because I guess it's a tricky business getting the right thing and making sure you don't eat bad things, I guess.
At the moment on site, it's just after Beltane, it's about mid-May, and we've got plenty of greens.
Yep.
There's lots of wild greens out. There's nettles, there's dandelions, there's cleavers. There's still some leaves on the trees which are perfectly edible. But we're really at the turning point now where everything's shifting up a gear into summer. And all the flowers are out. There's lots of edible flowers at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What are the tastiest? I know you can put... Is it nasturtiums you can put in salads, can't
That's
you?
Right,
anything
yeah.
similar to that? Or?
There's aqualegia, known as columbine, which has very edible, yummy flowers. The thing with the tastiest things out at the moment is sweet Sicily. And the seed pods are just ripening on the sweet Sicily, which taste aniseed and they're very sweet, hence the name.
Yeah.
They used to use them as an alternative to sugar in cakes and things.
Okay.
So they're very, very nice. There's burdock stems that I've been eating, which are very... refreshing and juicy. And
so I suppose a lot of people will know, kind of grow up drinking dandelion and burdock. It's a,
yes.
Is it similar kind of taste to that, or is it quite different?
No, it's quite different. I mean, I can't even, I don't know what dandelion and burdock taste like, but I can't imagine there's much similarity. But obviously the origin of that drink is in the plants itself, it's also, a lot of the things are very medicinal. So, you know, we're not going to find anything which is going to really sustain us. I'm only looking at plants. I don't really go into the animal world of foraging, like hunting and stuff. Although that is an open option, you know, really. We're looking at everything as food. A lot of the things are very medicinal, and the really important ones for me to show people are the poisonous ones. So, you know, if most things are edible. Most things aren't going to kill you, and most things you can put in your mouth and chew and see if they're edible.
What should we really avoid then? What's the dangerous stuff?
The ones to avoid are things like, or to take with utmost caution, you know, homeopathically, where it's no existence of it left. Things like hemlock, which is around the site. I have seen some, a very small amount. Dog's mercury, fox gloves, yew. Mm-hmm. They're some of the most poisonous ones around at the moment, yeah.
Okay. And tell me a bit more about the walk. So you literally just sort of take a stroll around and try and educate people about some of these plants.
I like to subtly premeditate the walks, but the way I do that is just by wandering. Mm-hmm. And wandering around and just getting myself in the right headspace. When I do the walks, I really encourage people to get into the right headspace, and to do that you have to kind of lose your mental thinking and judgment of naming and labelling things. Really, you want to be fully engaging in the plant in the moment as much as possible, because then you can listen to the plant and listen to what the plant's telling you. Because it's all very well reading books. We can read books and we can discover a lot about intellectualizing about plants. But unless we take that knowledge and physicalize it,
yeah,
you know, make it into the physical experience of tasting the plant, then it means nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to the point where I can taste a plant which I have never seen before and know what family it's related to, how it's going to affect me, whether it's edible, whether it's poisonous, and I'm starting to get to that stage. I've been doing it about 6 years, and every day I'm still finding new things.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's the amount of information out there in the plant world is huge.
So it's a learning experience, like, for you as much as much for anyone on the walk as well.
So let's say we've been doing it 6 days, that's 2,000 different aspects of different plants which are edible. Uh-huh. Because a plant at a different season will have a different part that's edible. And so, you know, that's the other thing, is a picture in a book is just showing you a plant at one stage in its growth. Perhaps it's got a couple of pictures to show you the different stages, but
yeah.
The plants are continually changing, you know. So it's trying to get people aware of that as well.
Uh-huh.
And for me, wild food was a route into organic food growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that it'll be a way of introducing people to the natural world, and then they might go, oh, I can eat these few little things. What about growing a tomato? What about growing a potato? Yeah. Whatever.
So it has kind of broader impact, kind of longer term.
I mean, the amount of subjects which stem from wild food is enormous. You've got herbal medicine, you've got homeopathy, bark flower remedies, organic food growing, permaculture, you know, bushcraft. All you can tap into almost any subject. I mean, what about nutrition, holistic medicine,
it's all linked,
subtle energetics, all linked. Magic, customs, traditions, history.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's absolutely huge wealth of information. You can see how broad it is, really.
Yeah.
But I try and just engage people in the experience of the plant itself.
Uh-huh. That's really interesting. Just to finish, if we can. I'm new to festivals. It's the first real festival I've been to. What tip can you give me for a festival? What should I do above everything else?
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good advice. Okay, thanks very much. Cheers.
Sharena, Vokradina sabrana, darpodarena, Dali ima, novoj beli sve, o babo devojče, od Makedonče. Nema, nekaj se rodi, o babo devojče, od Makedonče. Polični odvojte oči, dan se noke na nebo, den ke razdeni. Dali ima novoj beli sve, o babo devojče, od Makedonče. Nema, neke se rodi, o babo devojče, od Makedonče. Thank you.
kako koprina, lična si i polična od samovila. Da li ima novoj beli sve, o babo devojče od Makedonče? Nema, a nema, neke se rodi, o babo devojče od Makedonče. Za pesna je za pe, slavena pe, koga oro zahigra, srce razigra. Da li ima novoj beli sve, o babo devojče, od Makedonče? Nema, a nema, neke se rodi, o babo devojče, od Makedonče. Da li ima novoj beli sve, o babo devojče, od Makedonče? Nema, a nema, neke se rodi, o babo devojče, od Makedonče.
That was Makedonska by Tandra Mandra, an Oxfordshire-based trio who focus mainly on Serbian, Russian, Hungarian and Eastern European music. A great act to catch if you can. I was lucky enough to see them in the Tree Tent. Check out their website, there's a few more audio clips and more information about the band there on tandramandra.net. If you've always fancied delving into something cosmic and unusual, a gong shower could be the answer. What's a gong shower, you ask? Well, I asked a similar question, and I met up with Colin and Olive, the spiritual empaths who guided the gong, to ask them what on earth it was all about. So, Colin, tell me about the gong shower.
Gong shower.
Because it's a strange concept to me, I don't know what it is.
Tell me what you want to know, because we have a policy of not saying too much about
okay.
For the very specific reason, it's much more a thing to experience than to talk about, i.e. I could talk all day, you know, won't mean too much more without actually experiencing. I'll say a little bit.
Yeah.
The gong shower, on a purely physical level, is quite a tangible experience, in as much as you don't just hear the sound, it's a question of feeling the sound vibrating through the body. That process, partly for sure, the process just of sitting still while that happens for 5 minutes has its effect on people.
Yep.
It has different effects on different people. There's a whole spectrum of things that can happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Equally, nothing can happen.
Okay. So is it about sort of relaxation and partly meditation? Is that the kind
of
area?
For sure. For some people, it could be pitched from that angle, a relaxation thing. Yeah, that would be the most obvious way to pitch it. But for instance, we hold back from doing that. For some people, it's very energizing.
Uh-huh.
It's an experience.
Uh-huh.
Uplifting is a word that you often use.
Can you maybe tell me something about its history, where it comes from? Rather than, because obviously the experience varies from person to person.
Well, the history of working with it, not just how we're doing here, is something that is evolving right here.
Right.
As far as I know, you know, one would expect there to be some kind of history of it in the Orient.
Yeah, yeah.
There may well be, but if there is, it's become lost or hidden. One of the two, I would suspect it's, or perhaps initially hidden and then lost.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I haven't put a great deal of time that way myself, but I know people who have said, right, okay, let's trace this back, let's find some history to this. And they've come up with just about zero.
Okay.
And so working the way we're working with it here is something that we've evolved over the 5 or 6 years being at festivals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something. Initially, the gong shower, the term and the initial operation, it was born from necessity, very immediate necessity, like needing some money, having a gong, having a bright idea. Well, okay, why don't I step out on the high street, put a sign on the wall, gong showers available.
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, it started to take off. People sat down, had the experience, completely blown away by it. It's quite a phenomenon to experience it. So it just started to catch on, and I did okay that day. So it was very much a one thing led to another.
Went from there.
Here we are.
So what about the gong itself? Where does the gong come from? Is it...
This particular gong comes from Germany.
Okay.
It's not quite what it appears to be.
Okay.
It has these ancient Mandarin Chinese characters on it. That's an old tradition started by the Buddha, apparently. Who said that whenever a gong's made, these characters should be put on.
Okay.
So that tradition is still followed through to this day.
Uh-huh.
This gong, as I say, it's made by the Germans, a German company particularly. They're better known, they make drum cymbals, a company called Paiste.
Okay.
Paiste. This is a lesser known thing they make.
And in terms of festivals, is that mainly where you sort of spend your summer? Or
it's almost wholly where we spend our summer, yeah.
Okay, so that must be quite a lifestyle, really.
It's a great lifestyle.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing that for?
I've been about 5 times. My partner Olive here, she's been on board for 2 years. Uh-huh. So 5 years for me. That's a lot of festivals, yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of fields.
Yeah, sure. So where next after work? What's the next one?
Down to Sussex. Fire Gathering Festival.
Okay.
Near Horsham in Sussex. And then from that point on, the festivals start to get a little bit bigger until the pinnacle, Glastonbury.
This is the first sort of real festival I've been to, which is quite an experience for me. So I've been to similar things, but never sort of this scale. I know this is only a little one, but it's really exciting, actually, because there's some fun people here, which is what makes it, I think. It's a nice atmosphere.
There is, yeah, colourful characters.
So you're a sort of an old hand in terms of festival going. What advice can you give me as a newbie, as it were?
As a newbie, an individual, Olive. Give my voice a rest. Olive.
Ask Olive. Olive, maybe you can give me some tips on festival going generally. What would you advise? Other than the gong shower, obviously.
Bring some wellies.
I got those.
That was sun cream.
Oh yeah, I haven't got that actually. Maybe use some butter or something, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, for us,
be open and enjoy it.
For us, we always like to touch base with the campfire, you know, that's a good awesome. We always check in there every evening.
And what about music? Have you seen any of that so far, or you had a chance to?
We're not big on the music. Okay. We like someone strumming around the campfire. Occasionally, we can catch the axe on the stage.
Yeah,
but not that often. We spend
95%
of that time here.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for talking to me.
Pleasure.
And I will probably see you again. Because you might have seen I'm lurking with the Butts Brewery tent over there.
Yeah.
But that's more of a security role, I think. Now then, apart from cramped toilets and spam, festivals are about the carbon footprint, our fuel impact, politics, and a cycle disco. I was confused by this convergence of strange themes, so I caught up with Fiona from Friends of the Earth Oxford, who helped me get a grip of the green agenda in a field in Oxfordshire.
Fiona from Oxford Friends of the Earth.
Okay. And what does that mean? Who are Friends of the Earth?
Right, so most people will know Friends of the Earth as the larger national group.
Yeah.
And Oxford Friends of the Earth are a local group, obviously from Oxford.
Yeah.
And so in total, there's just over 200 local Friends of the Earth groups around the country. And so what we do is not only campaign on national affairs and the like, but also... down to a local level as well.
Uh-huh. And what are the big things you're campaigning for at the moment?
Right, at the moment, so obviously last year's big success was the Big Ask campaign, which was a national campaign rolled out by National Friends of the Earth. And yep. obviously we were operating at a local level here, lobbying our MPs and getting the message out to the public. Mm-hmm. The other large campaign that we're running at a local level is a campaign to increase people's awareness of incineration. Uh-huh. As the County Council intends to build an incinerator here in Oxfordshire.
Right.
And has basically there are two proposed sites for this incinerator, and we may actually end up with two.
Okay.
One is Ardley and the second is Sutton Courtney, and what we have helped the residents of both of those areas to do is to get action groups together so that they themselves can go out into their own communities and bring up the opposition to the building of those incinerators.
So it's kind of sort of catalysing kind of local activity, yeah?
Empowering the people. That's right.
It's a catchy phrase.
Indeed. So at the moment, I mean, the County Council was actually supposed to have made their decision by now regarding not only the location of the proposed incinerator, but to actually get the go-ahead with building it.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, from what we can work out, those plans are currently on hold, and
okay.
there's actually some opposition within the council now to building an incinerator here in Oxfordshire.
Uh-huh.
So how
did you get involved in this, in all things green?
Right, so my partner and I, we moved to Oxford a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and we've always been interested in environmental issues, and that's why we decided to join a local environmental group.
Uh-huh.
And basically, my partner Tim and I, we were responsible for stalls and fundraising.
Yep. Yep.
And this is our first year at Wood, and uh-huh. So I think we'll definitely be back again next year.
Uh-huh.
It's obviously we're preaching to the converted here, preaching for want of a better word, but it's
selling,
also about publicity.
Selling green things to people in the wood.
No, we mostly do. We mostly just have campaign material here on the stall.
Yeah.
We also sell like some bits and bobs, like books and recycled stationery and stuff like that.
But,
mostly. Yeah, it's more about just getting information across to the public.
So what other festivals do you go to, sort of?
We do a lot of local Oxford festivals. So for example, we'll do like the Headington Festival, Jericho Street Fair,
mm-hmm.
Cali Road Carnival, and the Wintergreen Fair, and couple of other festivals as well, the Elder Stubbs Allotment Festival, which is an interesting festival to go to, and there's also a flower show festival as well, which got washed out last year, unfortunately.
Oh,
so we are subject
good for the flowers,
to the, yeah, but not but good for anything else, really. Yeah.
And this, I think, it's quite a sort of a green and sort of eco-friendly festival, this one, and there's a lot of kind of solar panels and all those kind of things that I don't fully understand, but somebody said to me earlier on that they were a bit disappointed that there are generators here, kind of, you know, sort of, I guess, diesel power generators. And what's your take on that?
I totally agree. It's great that they've got the solar. I haven't seen any wind turbines here, it looks like they're generating most of their electricity from solar panels. I mean, unless you've got a grid of batteries set up to store that energy, I'm not sure that you can run an entire festival, this smaller size, just on solar energy. So I guess the petrol or the diesel generators are there for backup.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, there is a cycle disco here.
All right.
Okay, and we were there last night. There's three bikes there, and when the energy runs out, the whole thing just dies. The lights, the music, it just goes black. So,
So it's a bit like a roller disco, but you power it. Is that the idea?
So you've got to have three people on the bikes pedaling away to generate the power for the music and for the lights.
Sounds interesting.
And so when it all dies off, usually you'll just get the calls of come on, start pedaling.
Well, I think I have to investigate that.
Check
later.
That out tonight. It's well worth it.
Okay.
Well worth it.
And I guess transport's one of the kind of big issues for kind of festivals, because how people get here and the kind of, you know, what they do when they're here.
That's right.
If they come in a car, then that's kind of, you know, the impact is greater potentially.
Yeah.
I know that there's been a big push to get people here by bike, but obviously
it is
the remoteness is
a bit far out.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I know that there is public transport here, so you can get within the vicinity of this festival, which is probably why you'll see a lot of people lugging trolleys and pushing wheelbarrows and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I guess that impact can be lessened by people car sharing, and I have seen lots of people get out of one car. I guess that is a consideration. I think we're approximately 15-20 miles out of Oxford here,
it's
distance.
It's very rural, isn't it? Yeah.
And with this wind as it is at the moment, I think they've probably come across a nasty headwind at some point, you know.
To finish up, in terms of the festival itself, I mean, I've never really been to a festival before, so it's a new experience for me.
Wow, okay.
It's very exciting. Are you a seasoned festival goer?
I wouldn't say a seasoned festival goer, but I've certainly been to my fair share of festivals. For example, I've been to like WOMAD Festival here in the UK and also in Australia as well.
Okay.
So, and again, been out, you know, camping, been to really large festivals such as the Roskilde Festival in Denmark. So this is brilliant because it's a really small family friendly eco festival. And you know the pit toilets are interesting. And actually not as stinky as those plastic toilets that you normally get at festivals, which kind of heat up in the sunshine. You know,
I always think it's quite worrying at a venue when some of the seating is similar to the urinals. You know, so it makes it quite interesting, doesn't it?
They've definitely tried to recycle a lot of material here to as part of the infrastructure. It's really interesting.
It's very positive, I think, isn't it? So what advice can you give me then? What should I do and what should I see while I'm here?
I guess go and see the music. So the music, there's an outdoor stage and there's a couple of tented stages as well.
Have you seen anything that you like so far?
There's been really lovely folk music.
I caught Breaks last night. I think they were playing
at
about
11.
They were really good.
Yeah.
And there was an acoustic act, I think, called KTB or something.
They were quite good as well. And as well as the music, there's also a lot of workshops going on as well. So, for example, I think right now you can attempt to make a wallet out of some drinks cartons. There's a lot of kind of like recycling type workshops and using like natural materials, so you'll see like the wood carvers and the lathers out there as well, so there's a lot of like skill workshops, and I guess those kind of skills, you know, we don't really come across those too much anymore in our daily lives, really. So
have you got a Friends of the Earth teepee somewhere? Is that where you're staying? Or?
No. We're just separate tents.
Okay.
It'd be great to be in a teepee.
Definitely. Well, thanks very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
And that's it.
It seems that one environmental lobbying group is not enough. Therefore, I went to speak to Alan from Greenpeace. Our conversation increasingly battled a very Russian-sounding band in the background. He was very nervous, but then I suppose I'd be nervous also if some obtuse-looking fella waved a microphone under my face when I was trying to enjoy the sunshine and the beer.
Alan, Greenpeace, explain.
Well, we're here at the festival actually signing people up for the air plot, which is probably aware, Greenpeace and Zach Goldsmith, Emma Thompson, Alistair McGowan, and someone else whose name I can't remember, have bought a plot of land in Sibson on part of the proposed runway.
Yeah.
And they're the legal owners, and we're trying to sign up 100,000 people who are beneficial owners to express their opposition to that plot of land being used as the proposed third runway. And it's going very well. I think we've got something like this 45,000 people signed up to that at the moment.
And what's the end result? Were you obviously just trying to stop the expansion, or?
Yeah, I mean, at the time when we need to be addressing climate change, building more facilities for more flights is going in completely the wrong direction. So we need to be certainly not increasing the number of and the emissions caused by flights.
Uh-huh. And how's support been here?
It's really good. Yes, it's been very positive.
Uh-huh.
Some local people from around the Oxfordshire area, and also people from further apart, but they've all been very positive.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And do you do a lot of sort of this kind of work, or?
This is my first time at the festival.
Okay. Is it your first festival?
This is my second festival.
It's my first festival. I've not been to one before.
Greenpeace, there's a lot of activity, street campaigning, similar things on the high street. So
I guess at a festival like this, people are perhaps slightly more sympathetic, shall we say, in the high street, tend to get a more mixed response.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a very green festival, isn't it? Are you impressed with sort of...
I don't know the details.
Oh, okay. I mean, allegedly, there's a solar panel and things like that somewhere.
Which is good.
Although there are quite a few cars, I don't know how green that is, but there we are.
I don't know.
And hay bales, but there we are. So, have you had a chance to have a look around the festival so far, or
only very briefly? It looks very comfortable. Enjoying it, and pleased with the response we've had to our Airplot campaign.
Uh huh. That's good. And what about the music behind us that we can hear? What do you make of that?
I'm enjoying that. I think we're sufficiently far away so that people can still find out what we're campaigning about, but it's close enough to enjoy.
It's good background, isn't it? It's good background. I guess it's kind of Russian influence, perhaps, or something. I don't know.
My musical knowledge is not great.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to me.
Okay.
It's good to see you. Thanks.
There is more to this picture than meets the eye, though. I spoke to Henry from the Soil Association, and he told me about their work and what they were up to. We also both took relaxation from the eternal gong.
And tell me about the Soil Association, because I don't know really anything about it.
The Soil Association is an organisation that started back in 1946 as a reaction towards the big changes that were happening in farming at the time. Mm-hmm. And in the 80s, it set about creating the first organic standards for food and poultry and beer.
That's a key
products
one.
Products or all these kind of things. These were the first organic standards in the world. Since then, organic has gone on to become a big part of the food industry generally, globally. But as well as working with farmers, helping farmers to go organic and checking the produce and the way it's produced, we're also a charity that campaigns for things like for healthier food, for sustainable farming.
Uh-huh.
We campaign against things like factory farming.
Uh-huh.
Because of the animal welfare standards.
Is that a big one at the moment? Because I saw some stuff in the news about people sort of swinging more towards free range than the battery eggs or...
Yeah, it is, but it's something that we want to show that there's quite a big difference between Soil Association organic standards and general free range standards. So, you know, there's still a really good reason to buy, to, you know, spend that bit extra and go for the organic bird. We've also seen swine flu in the news. There are issues between diseases going from farm animals back to people, and this is why we need to stop using so much antibiotics in farming, because antibiotic resistant diseases can then spread to humans, which is a real problem. Otherwise, things like pesticides that are killing bees, this is something that we need to address as well. So lots of issues
How big is this Oil Association, and how many sort of members are we talking, or how big is a organisation is it as a lobbying body? Do you know that, or
The lobbying side of it, the campaigning side of it is not as big as some people think.
Okay.
We're still really growing on.
It's quite a well known brand, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, the food certification side of it has become pretty much a household name. People are really familiar with the Soil Association symbol on food. But I think we've got a message to do. To get the message out there, that there's a whole campaigning side that we need support for.
So what do you do a lot of festivals and sort of out and about work, do you, or?
Yeah, we do everything from little food fairs to Glastonbury Festival and big food festivals in London.
And is this the first time you've done the Wood Festival?
This is the first time in the Wood Festival.
Yep. How have you found it, sort of?
It's been good. We've had a really good response from the people we've spoken to. People have been really interested. Fortunately, the weather has been pretty phenomenally horrible.
Very English.
Well, it's a bit of a risk having a festival this early in the season. If it had been last weekend, it would have been perfect. But this weekend, so it's been quiet, but it's been good.
And are you a seasoned festival goer yourself? Are you
fairly seasoned?
Yeah. This is the first real festival I've been to, so it's an exciting moment for me, I think. So what kind of things have you been to previously? Yeah.
I've been to Glastonbury Festival many times. The Green Gathering, Sunrise, The Green Man, The Big Chill.
Lots then?
Quite a few,
And do you think Wood will grow? Do you think it'll become bigger, or do you think it's sort of...
I hope it doesn't get too big.
Uh-huh.
I think it's definitely attractive being this size. Being a little bit bigger. I mean, obviously it could be busier. I think if the sunshine would have brought out a few more crowds, but it's a good intimate atmosphere, and I think it's something that people
appreciate. About what about music? Have you seen anything so far that you've really enjoyed, or you had a chance to
catch any of the bands? I had a bit of a chance. Dodgy last night were really good. My good friend Rachel Dad played on Friday night.
All right. Who's that?
Rachel Dad. She's a Bristol-based folk singer.
Okay.
And she's exceptional, has a fantastic voice.
So okay. We'll have to check her website out, I guess.
Yeah, myspace.com/Rachel Dad. Yeah,
okay. Get the plug in. That's
the important
thing.
Get the plug in for my friends.
Is there anyone this afternoon you're looking forward to, this evening? Or?
Oh, I don't know who's playing this afternoon.
The tip is, a good friend of mine tells me that Mick Stevens, who is known as the Welsh Bob Dylan, right, apparently, is playing about 5 o'clock.
Welsh Bob Dylan.
So that's
fantastic.
It's got to be worth a look.
Seat for that.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll all be in Welsh, so you might not understand all of it, but there we are. How did I get caught up in all this festival malarkey, I hear you ask? Well, the good Mr. Alan Jones of Wales has a lot to answer for. He took time out of his busy working schedule, to tell me a little bit about the festival, and also an elusive hero that he was chasing.
Mr. Jones, you are head bar steward for Butts Brewery.
Certainly am.
At the Wood Festival. Have you enjoyed getting wood this weekend?
I've had wood all weekend.
I've noticed that. What's been your most popular beer?
The Barbus Barbus.
Barbus Barbus.
Yeah, that's the Latin name for barbel.
Is it?
Which is Chris's favourite fish to fish for.
Is it?
Yeah. Isn't that strange? Fish to fish.
Fish
for.
To fish for.
Yeah.
That sounds like a chess move.
Fish to fish for.
Mm. Now, later on the illustrious Wood stage, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
The Welsh Bob Dylan, Mr. Mick Stevens.
Yeah.
I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Mick Stevens.
Bless you. He's playing it. Can you tell me about him?
Yeah, he's a bit of a hero of mine.
Is he?
Yeah. He's been... he's kind of out there since the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
He's a hippie and still is. Professional hippie. And writes some really nice songs.
Uh-huh.
Quite a good musician. He also uses some really good musicians as well on his albums, and he's got some good production values.
Is there a song that you're looking to hear?
No.
No?
Him. Just being
just
him.
Just him. Him.
Yeah.
And where does he hide out? Where does he live? Where's he from?
I think he's in deepest, darkest South Wales.
Oh, really? A dangerous place to be.
He sings about a place called Solva.
Right.
Which is a beautiful part of South Wales. I think he's from around there, so that is fairly deep south.
Uh-huh. And how did you come across him? Is it statutory as a Welshman to listen to him?
Yeah, I've got a GCSE in Mick Stevens.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, so it's part of your coursework assignment.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was the case. Right, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Now get back to the beer.
I'll go and get some more wood.
Yes. Are you having a gong shower?
No, I'm afraid I've got... I'm suffering from some gongorrhea.
One, two. Hello? You can lower the mic, maybe? Is it? She was just a wanderer. She travelled by herself. Recently got married. Seems like she's a pool in the shelf, but still waters do lie so deep, so wide. I'm all alone. Won't you roll me home, Mr. Boatman, please? Every time she's traveling, she's searching for a friend to help her to unravel the tangled threads and knotted ends. But still water do lie so deep, so wide. All alone. Won't you roll me home, Mr. Boatman, please? All day long she's playing the rhapsodies in rhyme. untuned strings are stashed away. The piano hides behind the blinds, but still watered July. So deep, so wide, I'm all alone. Won't you roll me home, Mr. Boatman, please? I'm on my knees. She was just a wanderer. She traveled by herself. Recently got married. Seems like she's upon the shelf, but still waters do lie so deep and wide. I'm on my own. Won't you row me home, Mr. Boatman, please? Boatman.
Keen to be part of the counterculture, and subversive as ever, I spoke to Carly from eFestivals, another media outfit covering the festival, no doubt. Although I never caught up with BBC Oxford, she told me how lots of media types were getting involved in the festival, and how she had done her bit by planting a tree.
Carly, can you tell me what you're up to here with your paraphernalia and technology?
Well, we are filming a documentary for eFestivals.
eFestivals?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It's a festival website, and we're just doing a documentary kind of showing every aspect of the festival.
Okay, so what are you looking for here? Anything in particular? Or
just everything. We want to talk about the recycling, the music, the punters, the family atmosphere, just absolutely everything.
Uh-huh. And have you been here all weekend, or are you...?
Yes, we got here very late on Friday night.
Okay.
And, yes.
And who have you found so far?
Oh, we've interviewed lots of bands, and just lots and lots of people. I planted a tree earlier. That was a highlight of my day.
Wow, what was that for?
It was for like a climate change, plant a tree,
okay,
renewing carbon emissions kind of thing.
Have you been yet to the sauna?
I've been around.
You've
the
been
sauna
around it
in the relaxation room. We did an interview there yesterday. It looks lovely, especially the kiddie sauna. Did you see the kiddie sauna bit?
I did. I had a good chat with the guy in there, Mark, I think his name is, and he told me the kind of rules and regulations that apply, and I think a lot of people are sort of quite hesitant because of nudity, potentially.
Yes.
But I don't think you have to be naked to get in.
I did hear that naked people can reject clothed people entry, though.
So there's some kind of sort of skin segregation of a different kind, a perhaps, but there we are. Anyway.
I don't know what I'd be like to... I can't imagine.
So, which bands have you seen so far that you've kind of enjoyed? Or
I really liked Sam Isaac. We interviewed him beforehand.
Oh, okay.
Gig. He was dead good. And Dodgy, we interviewed them and then saw their gig, and they were very good as well. So
I actually yesterday served the drummer a pint of beer.
Wow.
It was a claim to fame.
What a privilege.
Yeah, I know. It was a real privilege.
Indeed.
So does eFestivals take in lots of different festivals throughout the summer? Or?
Yes, we're hoping to.
Yeah? Yeah? So what's next after Wood?
I don't know.
I haven't got one lined up.
That's the director.
Okay.
I just go where I'm told.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
And was there one, did you come last year?
No.
No? So this is the first Wood Festival?
It's one of the first festivals of the year.
Uh-huh.
And yes.
Isn't it? It's a bit of an early starter, isn't it?
But it's great. I think it's a good way to kick off the festival season.
Uh-huh. And what are you looking forward to today?
Packing up.
You're not allowed to say that, I don't think.
We've been filming since like 10 o'clock this morning.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to... We're going to go to the cycle tent in a minute and do a little bit of cycling.
Okay.
So I'm quite looking forward to.
Right.
It's fun.
Active cycling.
I just had a gong shower, which was pretty amazing as well. I've had a very exciting day, actually. I had a gong shower, which was a whole new experience of sound.
I spoke to the good people who are running that. An interesting pair.
Yeah, very much so.
And what was the experience like? Was it... It's supposed to relax your cells or something.
It did relax my cells. I came out of it feeling quite relaxed.
Did, Could you get a beer or something afterwards?
No. Not yet. But I was being filmed at the same time, so it was a bit like, okay, stay awake, come on, you're being filmed.
Right, okay.
But
okay.
It was really good. I highly recommend it on track.
Cool.
One Gets Wood was a King of the Buttons special.
Written and presented by James Sandy and dedicated to David Powell, whose virulent tonsils forbade his participation.
All of the music that you've heard on this programme is available through the Podsafe Audio Network.
Specific artists appear as referenced.
And Meg Stevens appears courtesy of Sign Records.
For more information on this and more, visit www.kingofthebuttons.co.uk.